Blog Talk Radio.
I'm unmuted. Okay. Thank you for being here before us, being patient on the line. Bless you, brothers and sisters who are here on Blog Talk. All praises be to the Most High. I'll take your calls in one moment. Thanks for your patience. We're going to open up with Thomas in 1 second. 515-605-9327. Demonic plans for the inner city. People already juiced and are being primed. Their bodies are being primed to be used as Manchurian candidates. Okay, so you're going to see crime go up exponentially within the communities, and no one is going to realize it, that, you know, they've been chemically induced into all types of, how can I put this? I got to be careful. We're here on this platform here. They'll be chemically induced into doing things that are beyond control, and of course, Joe Biden has a plan to ramp up on crime, right? But he can't do that without a few bootlicks in tow. You cannot have a culture, this is Daily Mail, you cannot have a culture where people are just robbing and stealing. You can't have a culture where people are just robbing and stealing out of control. Even Al Sharpton says NYC crime is too high as he tells Mayor Eric Adams to crack down. Now, this is why they put a black mayor in position, so that we can't say it's white supremacy behind what they are about to do. Oh, no, this was a black mayor, and it's your Reverend Al Sharpton. You cannot have a culture where people are just robbing and stealing out of control. Even Al Sharpton says New York City crime is too high as he tells Mayor Eric Adams to crack down. You got to crack down on those Negroes. And complains that his toothpaste is behind lock and key. Reverend Al Sharpton, the bootlick of all bootlicks, is saying outright, there's too much crime in New York. Oh, yeah. You're going to see him getting he's going to receive a lot of press. See, because at the end of the day, Biden is going to say, like he said for the 1994 crime bill with Bill Clinton, the black pastors wanted this. I only passed the black crime bill. We only passed the Joe Biden lock black people up bill because this is what the black leaders were asking me for. They wanted your young boys separated from your families over a vial of crack to not be able to raise their children. This is what the preachers wanted. See, they had to strategically put black people in place so that now they can claim, no, the same way they did with Barack Obama, use a black face to put things in place that would do what? That would usurp us in our communities. So now they can say, it's the guy y'all voted for. See how it works, folks? All right, here it is. Let's go down the line. The phone calls are in tow. Thomas has a question from the 434 area code.
Hello, brother. How you doing?
I'm blessed by the best. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I would like to ask you to speak on the subject of smoking, both cigarettes and marijuana, and maybe give some history, use some Bible, and ways to quit maybe.
Okay, well, the Bible says repent, right? The Bible's also that's first and foremost, right?
Okay.
When you look at the history of tobacco, okay, there was a big claim in which Big Pharma. Well, really, Big Pharma was connected to the tobacco companies years ago, but there was a thing in the 80s where they lost this big lawsuit because it come to find out that this synthetic nicotine was placed in tobacco that had an addictive quality, right? That would like a drug. It was synthetic nicotine that they actually put in that was causing all types of diseases and neurological issues, and it triggered the brain to desire the drug called nicotine. So when you look at nicotine in of itself, synthetic stuff is dangerous. It's deadly. Okay? So just go research the ingredients in nicotine and the long-term effects and understand that the Bible says that one is not to defile their temple. If you defile your temple, you shall be destroyed. Right? So this is why without the smoking now, you can get your fix with a nicotine patch, right? Or nicotine gum, because that's what it really was about anyway. It was about getting something that can reprogram your brain to need it as a fix or a drug, right?
Right.
So you have to overcome that particular chemical imbalance that happened through the process. It's a process of actually doing it for a number of years. You know, you have to fast, you have to pray, you have to have to ask the Most High to help you with it. And eventually your brain will actually revert back to what it was before the addictions. See, it's a desire that's calling you chemically. So the Bible tells us, that's right, you're not to defile your temple or be destroyed. Let me read that real quick. It's in Corinthians 3 and 16. Other lawyer, can you get that for me real quick?
Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16.
Yes, sir.
All right. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are."
See that? So your temple was meant what? It was meant to take in the herbs of the earth for food, right? Not to smoke. And see, all of a sudden, after Joe Biden locked us up under the crack era for a nickel bag and all that, not to say it was right, our people selling it, but hey, right? They weren't supposed to serve 5 years mandatory away from their family because of it. After taking the lives away from our families in the 80s and 90s under the Joe Biden Act of 1994 in specific, during the crack era that they've created. Think about this. Look at all of these so-called dispensaries popping up owned by white liberals. Now they're selling synthetic marijuana freely, legally, in the same cities they arrested our people, and they are making generational wealth to give to their own children after claiming that it was an epidemic amongst us. To show you there's two sets of rules here. And keep in mind, marijuana is bad as it is by itself. But if you think the marijuana people are smoking right now is the marijuana that was out there when we seen people in a neighborhood putting seeds and growing their own marijuana, you have another thing coming. It's adding to the zombie apocalypse. That's why people have become lazy and zoned out smoking marijuana, because it isn't, even though it's bad like it is, you're not supposed to smoke anything, okay? You're not supposed to smoke anything, okay? You don't see that in the Bible. You don't see where the Most High excuses such behavior anywhere. Your body is a temple of God, and now you, as a brother, a man in Christ, must take full control over your temple. People are going to make an excuse to say why they're doing whatever they're doing to justify it.
Right.
This is what I'm going to do. I had God tell me, man, hemp is good. You can make soap with it. I'm like, brother, you know darn well you're not telling me about hemp so that you can wash up with it, brother. When did you ever use? I mean, people make tires with it. You can, man, they got a full list of what hemp does, but yet they only do one thing with it: get high.
Right.
Where do you find a list of all the great things hemp can do? And why?
Okay, what about the aspect where they do, I'm not trying to justify it or anything like that, though.
Okay.
How do you comment on the part where they say marijuana has medical benefits? Like, for example, a bad back, and you don't want to take all those pharmaceutical drugs, but you use marijuana as a natural way to go.
What do I say about that?
Yeah.
This is what I would say about that. If you were Adam, and the Most High told you not to eat of the tree of good and evil, would you have taken the bite? Would you have taken a little bite of it?
Well, the correct answer is no.
Okay, well, that's the correct answer, because there's good in the tree too. It wasn't all bad. So just because it produces something medicinal that's good, it comes with a negative side effect. It disconnects you from the Most High.
Okay, I got you.
See?
Yeah, I got you.
Now, when you eat the herbs that the Most High made for meat that's good, you don't have to worry about a side effect. See, herbs like oregano, when you sprinkle that on your sandwich or sprinkle that on your food, you can eat all that you want, but you don't see nobody taking oregano, which looks like marijuana, and smoking it. Why? Why? Because it doesn't make you feel like marijuana does. That's just the truth.
Right.
So the whole thing is, yes, there's good things in it. The tree of good and evil has good things in it. But look what happened after our mother and father partook of the fruit.
I understand.
There you go.
Thank you very much, brother.
Find something else for the back. Okay, like a chiropractor. Because sometimes, and this is why they're trying to really phase chiropractors out altogether, sometimes the pain in the back has nothing to do in the back. It's usually something where your body need adjustment. It could be in your leg. It could be, the spine need to be adjusted. Your leg need to be pulled so that your spine can actually allow air to come in. So this is why they're trying to also make chiropractors null and void going forward, because chiropractors can let you know that it's not your back at all. It could be your leg. It could be your foot. It could be the way you're walking. It could be your posture. See, but surgeons can't make money that way. So, hey, if there's things wrong with you, we must find ways of doing what? Fixing them long term as cures instead of using something as a Band-Aid.
Right.
Which
I understand. See, my situation is, to make a long story short, I have a bad back and my bones have deteriorated. I forgot the word they used when I got diagnosed, but my bones kind of wore out, and then degenerative.
Okay, check it out. Do you know that there's ways of regrowing bone?
Oh no.
You know,
no.
They won't tell you about that, will they?
No.
There's a natural way to regrow bone that they won't tell people.
I believe that.
So, hey, Elder Yarok was dealing with this while he was overseas, where one person claimed they was having all these back problems and it was showing up in the x-rays or whatever the case might be, and got a natural scenario, you know what I mean? And you have to go to a doctor and they discuss it with you. And is there a way in which I can actually grow bone? Folks, there's natural ways to even actually get rid of cavities where your teeth can grow in before you let them drill in it. They don't let you know that your body has that type of healing properties. And I'm talking about, this is regular science. The doctors know, but it's not practiced in modern medicine like we see today, because they get more money off of the degenerate t- type of scenarios. Okay, right. So reach out, send an email. I have Elder Yarok reach out to you, and there's natural people who can talk to you about that. But there's ways in which your body can heal, including bones. But after you have surgeries and all that on it, hey, that may be a whole nother.
I wouldn't let him operate, and I wouldn't let him stick a needle in me.
Yeah, but that's a whole nother thing. Because one thing about getting shots and all that, and they work, they take away the pain, but you're walking around, you know, degenerating even more of the bone, not realizing you're doing it because the pain is gone. But yet you're eroding more of the brain, more of the bone. So we'll talk about that. Just send an email. Your rocker reach out to you. He'll let you know, because there was one person who was able to grow bone back naturally, right?
Right.
And then they went back and took the x-rays to the same doctor. And the doctor was like, well, hey, it's gone. The pain here where it was swelling is gone. What happened? And then the person asked the doctor, well, what happened here? Because you said that this was degenerate. My back is good now. It was like, well, okay, go home. I can't help that. It's healed. It's a miracle. That's it.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, brother. Send an email to goccsouth@yahoo.com and Elder Loyal forward that to your rock, and he can reach out and let you know. You know, the natural way to go with that.
GOCC South?
GOCCSouth@yahoo.com.
All right. All right, thank you very much, brother. Just for your information, I'm in the academy.
Hey, thank you.
And I'm in Virginia, and I talked to the Deacon Kevin. We're going to meet time on this Saturday.
Well, thank you. Welcome to the family, brother. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah.
The water.
All right,
bye-bye. All right, shalom. All right, let's go. 770 area code. Wrong button.
Shalom, Elder Akar.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm fine. I have a question. I'm currently residing in Washington, Seattle, Washington. And I was wondering if there's a body located anywhere in that area.
There is a body in that area, okay? Elder Lawyer, we send that to Elder Yarok, right?
Which area is this?
Seattle,
yep, that's West Coast.
West Coast, okay, what I'll do here for Yarok, hold on. And your name is Elliot, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, one moment. Yarok, come on, y'all killing me here. Y'all can usually send an email or something, man. I'm trying to keep this without it dying off topic. You know, it usually it puts a damper into the program. I know y'all trying to get in where you fit in as soon as possible, but sometimes I like to keep these things on topic so that, you know, I want to see, I mean, what spirit, you know, what was stimulated, you know, through the broadcast, right?
I do have the other question from last Friday about 2 Corinthians. I actually got the chapter and verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4.
Yeah. Read it.
I was wondering I can't read it right now. I'm currently driving, sorry.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll read it for you. Okay, give me the chapter and verse since you're here. All right.
So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4.
3 through 4. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, the third verse and the fourth verse?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says, blessed be the Most High, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of the Almighty, the Most High. Okay, you wanted me to read that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I was wondering if I could get, like, edification on that. I'm not sure if I'm getting it right.
Well, that's self-explanatory.
The first of the day for them?
What you say? Your phone broke up. Sorry.
Hello?
Your phone broke up.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Elliot. You're going into a bad patch. So I can edify by telling you that the scriptures are self-explanatory. Blessed is the Most High, even the Father of our Lord Yeshua. That's his name is Ahiah, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all of our tribulation, what we're going through, the trials and tribulations in life, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Okay, like I mentioned earlier, through our experience by actually being refined, we can comfort those who may have to go through this and might not have enough faith to get to where we are in faith. So that's what that's talking about. All right. All right, next call. Unfortunately, I'm sorry about that, Elliot, but your line went, you know, your phone wasn't, you just went into a bad area. You're driving. 251 area code. If you call back, I'll be more than glad to help you with that question. 501 area code. Someone has their hand raised. 501.
Yeah, Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. How are you, sir?
Yes, fine. Do you think any, I was just reading the topic this week concerning black church members. It goes in, it went into saying that they're seeking their pastors for mental health issues. They're seeing a large number, you know, studies come out to where, you know, you think it's got anything to do with, you know, with the topic at hand? Or
I absolutely. You notice anytime the media start ramping up certain talking points, know there's an agenda behind it. When they talk about mental health, without really trying to get in front of what's causing mental health issues, right? And there's a lot of money behind that because obviously with some of the choices people are making on medications or whatever the case might be, they knew that there would be an uptick in what? Neurological issues. A lot of what's happening in the earth with people were based on studies on the brain. So there's a lot of chemical imbalances going on based on the medication, the food, and all these others that is leading the earth and people into serious, you know, psychotic mentalities. So, yes, it has everything to do with it. And who knows what's the fallout neurologically or psychologically for those who are juiced right now. So, absolutely. Absolutely. It has a lot to do with it.
Go on.
All right? So, and that's why the Most High said that we as a people must be what? Sober-minded. We must clean these chemicals out of us. Clean the chemicals out of us, right? And there's a lot of things going on. In the sky, there's barium and all that, and sometimes we look at your water, you test, there's metals in it. Man, myself, you know, and I'm going to order this for myself, I'm going to order myself a metal detox to make sure if there's any metals in my bloodstream, myself. I mean, and they, you know, a lot of nice herb places online or others, metal detox can get the metals out of it because you have to realize that cross the signals in our mind. We can't think straight if there's too many metals in our bloodstream. We have to get the metals, a lot of the metals out of our bloodstream. So that caused a lot of interferences there, okay, neurologically. All right? I'm not a doctor, but I'm talking about for myself, for natural things. I try to look at natural ways of, I try to look for natural things as God made, Okay.
Yeah. Can you please contact me offline? I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, you know, offline.
Okay. Now, offline, what city and state do you live in?
I'm calling from Arkansas. I just wanted to call and discuss this. Just a decision that I'm, you know, that I've been wrestling with for a long time as to, you know, making decisions.
Okay. Let me have your name again.
Edward.
Edward. Okay. I'll try to reach out to you tomorrow, Ed. All right.
Thorne. All right. Thanks.
Let's get to the next call. And that's another thing. That's why they're going into this mental health crap. Because let me tell you, everyone on earth can be diagnosed with a psychological mental illness based on how this thing is constructed. Right? They're even trying to make someone who don't agree with alternative lifestyles, people who think that it's something that's not moral. They're trying to create, that's right, they're trying to create a psychological mental health term for people who don't agree with that lifestyle. So almost anything they can turn into a mental health issue, right? Instead of identifying what I would say the demon or the spirit that's in a person, like a person that has what you would call bipolar, split personality. No, there ain't no split personality. You're there, and a demon is there too. So this is why they would rather, you know, just talk. They won't give you the spiritual component of things, okay? They'll let chemical imbalance, mental health, this and the other, when usually there's some core things that have happened to us as children, which leads us to serious mental health issues, and we need to start dealing with the root issue of when something happens to our children and stop trying to throw a pill or something at an adult who's now suffering from childhood trauma where demons entered, right? Let's go down the line. Sam has a question and or comment.
Yeah, blessings, Elder. How you doing?
I'm blessed by the best. Floor is yours.
Amen. I got a quick comment and also a question. But I was just listening to, once again, right on point, right on cue. But the comment I have is, speaking of specifically what you were talking about, things in people's brains and make them click and whatnot, and brings the point of you're talking about the Ice Cube situation. So when Trump was still, it's a real event that happened between me and my a niece of mine. So right when Ice Cube came to Trump about the whole situation. So my cousin, I didn't know it was going on because my niece called me, like, "Oh, Sam, you check this out. Trump, Q went to Trump and this, and this is my whole." At that time, I was all in my Trump is this, Trump is that type of situation. So off for real, I was like, "Oh man, this is not good for us. You going to the wrong source." That's what I'm thinking. So she explaining all the story and this and that's where she ended. I was like, "Nah, I ain't with it, man. I will not go to Trump." And this is my whole conviction at the time about it. It was just the fact that I felt like if Trump was the one was to give us anything, we would not hear the end of it. "Oh, I'm the one who make people rich, black people rich. I'm the one who did this." So that's where my conviction was. So she was like stressing the whole fact. Now, Sam, just go look at what he's proposing.
Hold up, though. Let's examine that mentality.
Yeah.
I don't want to receive something from someone because he might brag he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you, and this is not to knock you, because I'm sure you have advanced from that stance and where you were triggered at that time.
Correct.
If there was any other group of people where a man was going to actually give them something for, you know, to make some level of an amends for what they did to their people.
correct.
You think other races of people would care whether or not that particular politician would brag about it?
I don't think they would, but at the time, I'm saying,
but listen, that's the whole deal, though. This is the mentality we have to get out of. You have to realize that this is not a popularity contest when it comes to politics. Politics is quid pro quo. Politics,
correct,
brother, is an exchange.
Correct.
I'm doing this for you so that you can do something for me. I don't care if you use it politically to brag about it. If it helps me help my people. If I'm better off now than I were before. Now, I'm just talking about if I was in the political process, because I understand it's all a farce. But I'm only dealing with the mentality of how our people make decisions. It's totally on emotion. It's totally off of being triggered without understanding the logical benefit of a scenario. We'll just discount something that will benefit us because it doesn't feel right.
Correct.
Well, suppose the party you're following is controlling your emotions and controls and trigger how you feel. Suppose you really don't have power over your feelings, that you're triggered strictly as your program to, right? But go on. I digress. Go on. I'm listening to you.
Okay. So the reason why I said that, and yes, I agree for that clarification, because it edifies the rest of our people listening. But the reason why I went into that at that time, the scripture that was hitting me was, you know, I don't know if it was Abraham. I don't know if it was Abraham while he was buying the land, I believe it was from Shechem. If I'm not mistaken, y'all help me out with the scripture where he said, I really need to pay for it. I want to take it from you. Rather, that you say, you claim, maybe I'm interpreting the scripture wrong, claiming that you're the one who made me rich.
Just quantify it. You don't know the scripture, but in a nutshell, what did it speak to you when it came to that scripture? That scripture made you, hold up. That scripture made you measure Trump through the Bible's moral lens. So you would decide
at the time. Yes.
So you would decide in something spiritual concerning whether or not you would support Trump based on moral.
No, not support Trump. Not support Trump. It wasn't because I don't care about none of that.
I was just saying
at that particular time.
I'm saying get Trump out of the way. Put it this way, I'm asking, did you vote for Biden?
Nope, I'm not. I never voted. I don't vote.
Okay. Well, to me,
I'm not a Democrat. Neither am I a Republican.
Okay, so I'm trying to see where this is going. So let me listen to you out now.
Yeah, I'm not on no political line. I'm just talking about that particular instance at that time. Me and my, because once you brung up the whole Ice Cube situation, I was like, oh shoot, I remember this situation that happened between me and my niece, whatnot. I just wanted to share it. But like I was saying, at that time spiritually, that's how I felt, because I was like, it wasn't a situation I would not take it. Like I wouldn't take something from somebody who I feel deemed because scripture tells me if I'm in a situation where I'm down and out, go to your brothers, knock on the door until they open the door and let you in. You ain't got to worry about this or that. Oh, I feel this. So I understand that part of scripture. That's not what
I understand.
At that time, I was convicted.
I think you're missing the whole point when it came to why I spoke about Ice Cube. Ice Cube just proved that the whole process is a bunch of garbage in a nutshell.
Correct.
So it wasn't about supporting the brother in particular, then how it actually ended out. It ended out exactly how Ice Cube said it would.
Correct.
Because they claimed at one time, if we were to come together and bring a real-time plan that the Democrats can get behind, that they would actually back it. Why? Because they care about the really strongest base of the Democratic Party, which are black. And it flies in the face of everything they claim they were for, because here's a man who got intellects and others together to produce exactly what they asked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. That's the point. That even if we come in a political manner in which they said we should, they'll still reject.
Which will happen. Correct.
So the question remains, why are we supporting that party?
I don't know, listen,
because I'm speaking to everybody. I'm generalizing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say to vote for Trump.
Correct.
But what do we get supporting the liberals who've always destroyed and usurped us internally, when really we don't believe in anything they're talking about? We don't believe in doing things to be able to have babies and to get rid of our babies and all that. We don't believe that's immoral. We don't really believe in none of this stuff. We don't believe in women liberal and being separated and women over the man. We really don't believe this stuff. So the question is, I'm talking inherently as a people, we have never believed anything liberal. We were the conservatives of the country, family, God. We were never in support of alternative lifestyles and all that stuff. We understood it was immoral and against the laws of God. So the question is about whether or not we're supporting Trump. Because no, we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But we bring in some logical understanding to our people so that they can now come to a point where, well, okay, if it's not about Trump and we can't support Biden or the Democrats, what are the choices? That's where we want you. That's where God wants you, not the trusted man who's been destroying you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you think there's hope out there, you're going to keep doing what? Pulling the lever that makes you an accomplice to your own destruction. Because they're going to always circle back and say, well, you can't blame me. You wanted this. You voted for it.
And precisely, that's the reason why I don't vote.
Okay.
You know,
well, brother, let me take the next call, but your point is well taken,
I had a quick question if you would elaborate.
Okay, what's the question?
So I wanted to know your take on this. When we look in scripture concerning reparation, you know, when we left Egypt, we kind of got paid the day we left. I don't know much about Babylon or what happened, but what's your take on that? Might be the same thing that happened here. You know, that on the day our father decides,
hey, brother, you gotta get to it, brother. You have to get to it.
No,
I don't
I'm
mean
saying,
to ask the question.
I,
bro, come on.
Okay, sir. What's your take on reparations will have to be the day we leave here or wherever we are captivated by our oppressors? What's your take on that? That would be the case.
Okay, are you asking the similarities between when the Bible...
Correct. Because right now we're asking for reparations and we're not getting it. You know, literally like you pointed out, they have $30 million to put towards that, but we're not getting no money and they gave Chinese people and all that. So I'm just speaking on that aspect, yeah.
Okay. Well, hold tight, and I'll answer that. I'm going to place you on hold, and I'm going to answer that and then go to the next call, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. So when the Bible says spoil the Egyptians or borrow from the Egyptians, okay, that's synonymous. That's really what you're doing is getting your mind together with a plan, a legal plan, to get what you can out of Babylon, okay, to turn into real-time resources that can transfer someplace outside of the country if need be. That's taking things and turning money into tangible assets that can be utilized once things fall. Okay? There's never going to be a thing where they're going to all say, black descendants of slaves, come down and get your one big reparation stimulus check of $30 billion to be split amongst descendants of slaves. That will never happen. So this is why the Most High put the onus on the people to individually borrow from the Egyptians, okay? Knowing that it was our people, brothers and sisters, who made Egypt rich. When Joseph came down into Egypt, during that, right before the seven-year famine happened, the Most High gave him the vision to save Egypt, which consolidated all the golden power, the wealth that made Egypt great. So he says, borrow from the Egyptians. So it was each individual in their relationships, they were able to operate and do certain things that would do what? Financially grandize their home, knowing that eventually they'll be able to take those goods when they're no longer in Egypt. So that's the mentality we must have here, all right? To individually do things legally that can be moved into something tangible that can help you as an individual, your family, beyond the borders of Babylon. And I'll be having those discussions down the line, okay? But reparations is a serious pipe dream. I believe the only way Elder Lawyer and others that they would actually give us reparations in America, I believe the only condition would be if they were to come to us, Elder Lawyer, and said, if y'all were to get microchipped with the mark of the beast, we will give you this amount in reparations as Black Americans in America. If you're willing to get microchipped, we'll put this amount in your credit. And on top of that credit will be reparations for what your forefathers did in the country. I believe they would do that if it was a mark of the beast scenario where it's getting microchipped. And guess what? I'm sure our people will be lined up around the corner. I got my stimulus, my PPO business. I'm an entrepreneur. You let the beast tell them, Elder Lawyer, that reparations will come through them getting chipped. They'd be like, hey, where do you want to put it? Where do you want to put the chip? All right. Hold tight. Let me go down. Okay, Kelvin, I have to eat too, so I can only take a few more calls. I am hungry. 631 area code.
Hello. Peaches. Hi. Yes, this is Sister Peaches. Shalom, Elder. I'm new to the academy. I just started last Sunday, so I'm really excited about it. So my question, I am.
Okay.
So my question to you is, thank you, is based off of dietary laws and exactly what we should follow. Because I come out of the Pentecostal church. There's a lot of teachings, and my references is the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, where it discusses Peter had the vision, you know, rise, kill, and eat, about the unclean animals. Also following with another two scriptures, Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, where it speaks of doctrines of lies and people are telling you to abstain from certain meats. You know, it's going to be happening in the latter days in our times. And also the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, where Paul addresses one who is weak in the faith may only eat herbs and another person will eat everything, you know, and then it goes on to say that, you know, whatever God created is good, you know, and to be received with thanksgiving. And I heard, and I'm referencing that because that's what I was, you know, brought up in. And I heard you speak like on a prior video, and it sounded very interesting. I just didn't get to hear all of it. Well, you talked about something with the pig and something about DNA.
Yeah.
So if you can just kind of give me your take on that, because it's, you know, people are concerned, like, can we eat pork? Should we abstain from it?
Okay. You have your Bible?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go to Leviticus 11.
Okay, Leviticus?
Yeah, Leviticus 11.
Okay. What
ready?
Verse?
Start at the first verse.
Okay. Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Food. Whatsoever and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud amongst the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless.
Okay, let's stop there. Hold up. Let's stop there. So we know that according to God initially, that we could only eat what's considered a clean animal, one that parteth the hoof, and that is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud, right? Now,
okay,
chew a cud, in a nutshell, they eat grass. You see how a camel may chew the cud, and you see how a cow and a horse may chew the same? Now, even though the cow, the horse, and the camel all chew the cud, grass, they chew alike, all of them aren't cloven-footed, right? Like the cow.
Yeah.
The cow is cloven-footed, right? So now it's going to break down what animals to eat which are clean according to God. Finish reading.
Okay. And nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that cheweth the cud, or of them that divideth the hoof.
So these
the
are the
camel.
That you don't eat. So read it.
Okay. As the camel. Because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you.
Okay.
And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof.
Go ahead.
Oof. He is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof.
So that's
a
rabbit?
He is unclean unto you.
That's a rabbit? Go on.
And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall... Okay.
So of their
flesh... You want me to continue?
Yeah, yeah. Finish reading.
Okay, so of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you.
So how can you eat the pig when you're not even supposed to touch its dead carcass? Right? See, this is why the Christian church is so deceptive and evil. They take you straight to the New Testament without first giving you the laws that were given to the people that were being taught in the New Testament. So the people in the New Testament, the Israelites, knew of these laws. And see, and that's where the churches aren't operating in good faith. Telling people the people in the New Testament already knew these laws, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the New Testament, it says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You can't even understand what was going on in the New Testament concerning foods if you avoid understanding the Old Testament, which is the schoolmaster. Now you can deal with it in its proper context once you read the story. I'll show you. Now, in a nutshell, you can read this on your own, but I can tell you what you're going to read to quantify it.
Okay.
In a nutshell, you can eat sheep, lamb, goat. He's going to tell you all that. Because these chew the cud and split the hoof. Right? You cannot eat pig.
Yes.
Or anything outside of what I've just mentioned. Cows, bulls, goats, deer is good meat. All of that. So it's crystal clear.
Okay.
Anything else is unclean. Listen. Anything else is unclean. Everything else.
Okay.
It's really that simple. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now.
I mean, it spells it out. It spells it out here. But,
I'm saying for the sake of time, let me break down the scriptures for you. And then I can I'll entertain what you have to say because I want to make sure it's edified everything you've brought to me so far. Okay?
Okay.
Out of the waters, out of the waters, you can only eat fish that has scales and fins. That's all you can eat out of the waters. Nothing else.
Scales and fins. So no
so
lobster?
No, crawfish, lobster, all these are crustaceans. They eat. They're the cleansers for the bottom of the sea and ocean. And the reason why they're there, what happens when you eat the dirt, eat the trash that was meant to be eaten by these crustaceans? The earth becomes dirty, the water becomes dirty, and you end up falling sick from the diseased animal.
It's a cycle, yep.
And it falls into what I was talking about with the brother, defiling the temple. You defile the temple with unclean foods. Even with crab. Crab has something in it that calls dead man. It's called dead man before you get to it because how sick it makes you if you make a mistake and eat it. Okay? You're not supposed to eat shrimp, crab, lobster. In a nutshell, the only thing you can eat, the only thing you can eat, sister, out of the sea or waters is fish. And the fish must have scales and fins. No eels. That's it. Fish. That's it.
No eels.
No eels, no crawfish, no nothing.
Okay.
Fish with scales and fins. That's it. Out of the waters. That's quite simple. Birds, you can do what? Pheasant. Chicken is a form of pheasant. I mean, quail. You have pheasants, you have quail.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So you have quails in particular, right? Right?
Steak is
chicken,
okay, but you just can't
chicken
be
is
bloody.
Okay. Yes, chicken is okay. And chicken is okay, and turkey is okay. Duck isn't because of the web feet.
Really?
Really.
Oh, I didn't see that scripture.
No. I'm going to show you. I'm going to take some time in it because there's a lot of Christians, right? There's a lot of Christians out here, right, that are coming through and not realizing. I'm going to tell you, we're some of the most holiest people, yet are the sickest of all the holiest people. You notice that? And it's a it's a direct result of our diet against God. That's what it comes down to. Now, in a nutshell, let's go to Acts the 10th chapter, and let's give you that information first because pastors will take you here first. And let me tell you, when they go there, it's straight deceit. They're deceiving you when they go here concerning foods. Let me show you the deceit. Let's go to Acts 10. Let me know when you're there, sister.
Okay. Okay. Let me see.
I'm going to show you the deceit.
Okay. I'm there.
Right?
13?
Okay. Go to Acts 10 and 1. The deceivers will take you straight to 13 because they know you have no knowledge of the Old Testament's dietary law. Okay?
Okay.
So they'll take you straight to 13 just to ease your concern. That's their doctrine, to do as thou will and eat as thou will out of context. Because Paul wasn't even talking about what that pastor showed you here in Acts 10. Paul wasn't even talking about food. So how can they take you there for food? Go to Acts 10. Read Acts 10 and 1 for me, sister.
There was a certain man, Caesarea, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
So this is a Gentile sister who has respect for the God of Israel in the Italian band.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day,
an angel of God coming. Hold up, sister. Because I think you skipped something. Let's go back to the third verse. 10:3.
He saw in a vision.
Okay, that's it. Go on.
Evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius.
That's right. Go
on.
And
when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter.
Now hold
that.
Hold up.
Okay.
No, let's stop there. This is the Most High sending a Gentile to meet Peter. Peter is now on earth the father of the church.
Okay.
Christ's work now is in Peter. He's sending a Gentile to meet Peter here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now he got his men, and they're on their way to meet Peter, right? Now let's go to the vision, Acts 10:9.
Okay. 10:9. Where is it? So on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop and prayed about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And
now, let's stop right here because this is where the pastor took you. Now, mind you, what the pastor didn't tell you was that Peter was asleep. Right? That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
He would make you think this is a conscious decision. Now, if it's what your pastor is saying, that this is giving mankind or those who believe in Christ the right to eat anything in the earth, clean or unclean, then that means when Peter wakes up, he should go right out and eat pork. That means if that's what they're saying, it's okay for Peter now to eat unclean things once he's awakened, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
In context of what they're teaching. But let's finish. Go on.
But Peter said, Not so, Lord. Oh, 14. Yeah. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou unclean. This was done thrice.
Okay, so sister, let me ask you, how would God clean an unclean beast to make it edible for us?
I don't know.
Yeah, because what the preachers say, injecting, you have to pray that God making it clean. But let's see if that's true. We're going to show people what cleansing is, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So finish reading.
Okay, and this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made query for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon...
Go ahead, finish reading.
Okay. Which was surnamed Peter... were lodged there.
Now let's
stop. So while Peter thought on,
Let's stop for a second. When Peter awakened, when he woke up, he doubted what the vision was. He had no idea what that was about. So have you ever had an abstract dream that you didn't understand what it was? And you're like, well, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So Peter, now, this is a disingenuous thing about pastors who teach this scripture. They'll teach it as if this justifies eating unclean food. When Peter awakened from the vision, he didn't even know what it was. Right?
Yes.
So obviously, this was the Most High preparing Peter's sister to receive a person he would have normally rejected.
Keep in mind,
Cornelius, the angel was sending Cornelius to meet Peter. So he had to prepare Peter with a vision to receive this man. How do we know that? That it's not talking about animals? Let's go down to the 26th verse. 26th verse.
26?
Start at 25. 25.
I'll start at 25? Okay. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man."
Come on.
And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Oh, and he said unto them, "Ye know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But
of another
God
what?
Hath showed me nation.
Of another nation.
But God
and
hath...
he said unto them, sister, listen. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man, not a pig, okay, not shrimp, not crab, not lobster, not a dog, not a rat. He said unto me, you know that it is an unlawful thing for a man,
that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation.
Come on. Read.
I should not call any man.
Any what?
Okay, comment.
Any what?
Any man.
Any what?
Man.
Any pig?
Man.
Any crab?
Common or unclean. No.
Any lobster? Any rat?
No.
No. So that's the deception of the Christian church, that it wasn't even talking about animals. So why would he take you there if it wasn't to deceive you?
Yeah. Right.
It's not even talking about that. It's talking about people teaching the gospel to Gentile nations, including the top. Now, let's get to the other scripture in Timothy real quick, because here's another slick trick they use. Go to Timothy real quick. Timothy 4.
Got it.
Let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
You at 1 Timothy, right?
Yep, 1 Timothy chapter 4.
4 verse 1, right? There's another thing those deceivers take people to. It's a lie. Read.
Okay. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Hold
For
that.
Every creature...
Hold up. Hold up. Before going to every creature, let's deal with the hypocrisy and doctrines of devils that God said through this word we must be aware of. The first doctrine, forbidden to marry, like the Catholic Church saying nuns can't marry when we know that they be doing all types of stuff when the lights go out, as well as claiming that the priest, the Catholic priest cannot marry, but yet we're finding out all of these molestation issues that are going on amongst that church.
Exactly.
So now the Bible is telling you expressly what doctrine to be aware of. You can't have a doctrine that would tell people to forbid to be married, not to be married to be a priest, right? The next one. And commanding to abstain from meat, if I told you to stay away from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. So here's the question. What meats did God make to be received with thanksgiving, sister?
The clean. I guess the clean.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's the deception of the Christian church. They're not telling the people. The meats in the law, the Most High did what? Gave clearance for the priest to sacrifice for the people in thanksgiving. It was all clean meat. There was never a pig on the altar in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Right? So how can we ask God to cleanse what he made evil, that he made unclean? We're praying over something that's unclean or bad for us.
So now
you can understand, because the Most High is not the author of confusion. He wouldn't tell us to pray over something that he told us not to touch in the first place.
So the food
that he gave us to be received in thanksgiving, all in the Old Testament, was what? Clean foods. Clear. But then when it says for every creature of God is good, what does it mean, every creature? It was already highlighted that these are clean animals. So if I told you, sister, that you are supposed to just be a vegetarian and that you're not to eat the clean meats of the Bible, that would be a doctrine of devil. That would be evil.
Okay.
And that links to what Paul was saying. Because you had people who knew that before Adam and Eve sinned, that there was no carnivores in the earth and there was no man eating meat until a sacrifice happened for the sins of Adam and Eve. So you have people who become religious vegetarians and begin to push that on other people. And that's what Paul was talking about, doctrines in the church where they're telling people to abstain from meat, trying to force people into being a vegetarian. No, that's your choice.
Yeah.
You can't
okay.
push that as a religious moral point within a church to look down on people who are eating meat that the Most High made clean, made good to be received with thanksgiving. If I'm eating lawful food according to the law in the Old Testament and you are a vegetarian, you cannot pressure me and to say that, listen, it's wrong for me to eat what God said is good. Now, there's one other thing that they didn't, that they probably didn't take you to. Where they said, what goeth in the man doesn't defile a man, but it's what cometh out of a man's mouth. Did they go there?
Yeah.
Okay,
I heard that too.
Good. Let's go to Matthew 12. I'm going to take you there.
Okay. 12. What verse?
Matter of fact, let's go here. Let's go to Matthew 15.
Matthew 15. Okay.
Right? Start at the first verse.
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them.
Hold on, sister. Slow up for a second because I got to edify. It was a tradition amongst our forefathers that before, and it's still, it's a tradition within our homes till this day. You're not going to sit at the table without washing your hands first. Right?
Right.
But the food of choice here, the food in context, sister, pork chops. The food in context here on the table is what? bread.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's not talking about the food in general. It's the tradition of not washing the hands because you may eat dirt with the bread. So is this disingenuous for a pastor to use this scripture and say what goes into a man don't defile the man when it's talking about bread at the table? Pork isn't
mm-hmm.
there.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
But you see how deceptive they are in their doctrine? And guess what? I'm not going to say it's the pastor's purpose because they don't know any better. They were taught what their pastor taught them. So I don't want
exactly.
to make it seem as if these pastors are maliciously on purpose trying to deceive
mm-hmm.
their churchgoers. It's just that the Most High now is breaking that evil doctrine off of our people. He's breaking
Amen.
That from us.
Amen.
The slave doctrine that once kept us in bondage through sin. It's okay
mm-hmm.
to serve the living God and eat what's right and not try to
That's
indulge
right.
in food that's been killing our community. So it's the Most High giving
mm-hmm.
us the light. And Christ says what? Go to Matthew. Right? And I have to eat, so I can
I'm
only
sorry.
Take a Matthew 5 and 17. This is Christ's own word. We're going to take a few more calls, and then I'll open up more calls Friday for you all. I'm sorry, but it's getting late.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 5 and 17. Yeah. Read that. This is Christ's speak. This is Christ speaking.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
So let's stop real quick on that. So did Christ come to destroy the law that was written of concerning clean and unclean foods of the Old Testament?
No.
No. What type of son would that be, sister? To come on the earth to undo everything his father said in the Old Testament. No, I come to fulfill.
Yeah.
I'm standing on my father's word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the church have taught Christ as a separate God against the God of the Old Testament, against his own father. That's how wicked and evil and deceptive the theologian school is. And they learned this crap from the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Elder.
Ran them up. Led astray. All right. Bless you, sister.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Bless you. Sorry, I can only take one more call. I'll see you there, Sunshine, but I can't take the call today. You call in Sunshine Friday, and I'll bring you in. I know you have copious notes, and we'll hear those Friday. Last call, Miles. I had to edify because we have a lot of our brothers and sisters fresh new out of the Christian church. And if you don't deal with each minute scripture that's given to them and break it down, Satan will put a seed of doubt in them. And then next thing you know, they're confused. I had to edify for the sister, okay? So I apologize. I know we're off topic, but that's needed for people who are newly coming into this truth, who has to understand the foundation, which is the schoolmaster, which is the Old Testament. Our brothers and sisters are asking the right question to start a foot right towards their kingdom. So I had to take that extra time for her, and I hope that edified others. 773 area code.
How's it going? How you guys doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you, Miles?
I'm great. I want to say thank you guys, Elder Rakashiar, Elder Lawyer. Like me and my fiance have been following you guys for maybe like 4 or 5 years now. And like this is actually like my first time calling, you know, and it was crazy because when I called, I got right through. But this is like a little bit earlier, you know, but
it's okay. It's okay. Let's just get right to it because I know you have a question and a comment, and I want to make sure I answer it in its entirety. So,
For sure. So earlier in the live, you were talking about marijuana, and there was a guy who asked about like using it for like his back or something, right?
Yeah.
And like for the last year or so, I've actually been a general manager of a dispensary. You know, and I heard that you were saying like, you know, like it's good herbs and it's bad herbs, and you know, and you were talking about like oregano and stuff like that, and you know, and I was just curious as to, you know, how do you really, you know, tell the difference between those two? You know, just because, like, there are ways that, you know, you can use the cannabis plant without getting high, you know, because, like, I got patients who, you know, who would come in and, you know, people, you know, older people, you know, probably broke their back or, you know, anything, you know, and, you know, and we have stuff there that can use that doesn't get them high, that's, you know, that's like creams and stuff like that, that's non-transdermal, you know what I mean? And, you know, like, I really do think that, you know,
saying, bro,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Brother, I know what you're saying, and that's why I made the examples of soaps and all that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, marijuana has been a destructive tool that have destroyed our people and have made a whole generation, two generation of young men complacent, lazy, unresponsive to their environment. So when I weigh it, I have to weigh from the destructive measure. And if I put this in the balance, it have done more harm to God's people than the few things you're talking about with rubbing creams on someone that. Those are outliers. I have to look at the overall destructive tendencies that came with them targeting our people with it. Before, why do you think they use it? Don't forget, during World War II, the Nazis, and this is recorded, put fluoride and other things and agents in food and water to lower the IQ, to make the people docile that they were attacking. Before America, marijuana was used to calm the what? The warlike spirit of the Jamaicans. It was a strategic social engineering, knowing that they'll be able to do what? They would be able to mild-manner the Jamaicans, who has a warlike spirit, so that they'll, so that they're easily socially engineered. What your job do and what and how you make your money, that's your business as far as legal goes and whatever for your conscience. I know you're struggling with what we're talking about and the job that you are that's now sustaining you. I understand that. But we all have tough choices. And I can't, and I'm not going to change a stance understanding marijuana's destructive history on our people. And it have nothing to do with some creams that was rubbed on someone's back who had back pain. Okay, because that's just a Trojan horse. All the medicinal stuff people be talking, that's the Trojan horse. It's the shiny thing that everyone can accept on the surface as good. But what happened in Troy? What happened in Troy? While everyone slept, the army came out of the Trojan horse to burn down the city.
Right, and like honestly, you know, like it's actually to a point that, you know, that I kind of agree with that in a way, you know, but
yeah,
but you know, like I said, you know, I'm still struggling with that, I guess. You know, but
okay.
You know, but as far as other
now
things,
pray,
that, you know,
for you,
that,
pray for you.
You know, but yeah. You know, as far as other things like dietary laws, you know, and stuff like that, you know, like I've been doing that for, you know, right around 4 or 5 years, you know, so far, and you know, the funny thing about that is I was in culinary arts prior, you know, so, you know, I was a person who, you know, I really had to expand my palate, you know, based on what I did. But, you know, but trying to actually relate back to the topic, me and my fiance, we currently expecting our first kid. Thank you. And we were just living in Southern Illinois. I recently graduated. I got a bachelor's in engineering. My girl has a bachelor's in family and consumer science. But, you know, we were in Southern Illinois where, you know, a lot of people really wasn't complying, you know, as far as, you know, doing certain things that's, you know, that's mandated or and stuff like that, you know, and coming back to the city like Chicago, you know, it's a big difference. You know,
okay, well, we got to wrap it up because I'm almost out of time here. I don't know if you're segueing into another place. Let's, if you don't mind, let's sum it up here.
Right. I mean, to end it all, you know, I was just saying, you know, basically just for, you know, as far as like the whole topic, like demonic plans in the city and stuff like that, you know, like it's a lot of stuff within Chicago right now, you know, that they doing as far as, you know, trying to change laws and, you know, promoting certain, you know, things on the news as far as, you know, our people and just as far as, you know, like the whole agenda as far as things that, you know, Trump is doing and handing out crack pipes, you know, like that's something that, you know, we see, you know, on a daily basis, like where I'm from, you know, so, and it's scary because my sister actually works in the ER, you know, so she, you know, sees all this stuff on a daily basis.
I'm with you, brother.
You know, but,
I'm sorry, but
that's it.
I'm at the top of the hour, but you can understand the quandary you in, talking about everything that's going on in Chicago. And
right.
You have a struggle working in a drug dispensary, right?
Right.
So it all works congruent one to another. And either we come, like I said, I'll pray for you and make sure I put that prayer in for you and your wife. But the whole thing is it comes down to whether or not we're going to be a part of the solution or the problem.
Right. You're right.
There's some decisions that we all have to make, right? But thank you for
continuing to
follow the church, brother. And you're strong. You are intelligent. And I'm sure you're going to make – you're going to be guided into the right decisions concerning your current livelihood. All right?
For sure.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Brother lawyer. And I thank you, brothers and sisters, until Patreon tomorrow – I mean Friday – I'm going to come on for about 30 minutes here then go over to Patreon because I know our Patreon members miss us there, okay? We're going to be putting up new content all on Patreon so that, hey, it's going to be great. So if you want to join that, go to Patreon.com/agathering144. Again, we'll see you in the Academy, tracing the serpent seed. Who really runs the world? We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Politicians are just utilized by the spirits they pray to. So I'm going to be breaking that down this coming Sunday, tracing the serpent seed. Now, if that interests you, don't worry about it. We are in week two. If you enroll, I'll make sure you get a link that will cover all what you've missed 1 week. That includes the Hebrew, the news, as well as the one lesson missed. And by the time Sunday comes around, you'll be ready to jump right in from creation to tracing the serpent seed. All right? Go to historytimes.org if you're interested. I'd like to thank you for all the likes today and you supporting this work, brothers and sisters. And as you can see, you can go to $GOCC144 donate. That donates strictly to the broadcast we do before you that goes to elders, and we really appreciate all you do. It's an offering directly to us for your weekly broadcast as well as Sabbath. That's $GOCC144 donate if you have Cash App. If you don't, you can go to gatheredofchrist.org. That will show alternative means or alternative options to donate if you don't have it. Okay. With that, I'm going to say shalom. May the Most High be with you. We have the brand new calendar that breaks down a 364-day cycle at the website, gatheredofchrist.org. And I hope you all are enjoying the music with the purpose we uploaded as a good gesture to all people who've been following the Gathering of Christ Church. It's right here on the main page, A Gathering 144, where you can hear all the album from one to the next, starting with Elder Lawyer's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, narrated by and read by in Hebrew and in English by Elder Lawyer. Go to A Gathering 144. and listen to the songs as our good jester as a gift to you all before Music with the Purpose 2 is released. So I thought it would be a good gesture to have you enjoy the music. All right. And speaking of that, please make sure YouTube hasn't unsubscribed you. Go to agathering144, click the red button, and hit the bell and say you want going forward to receive all notifications. All right. This way we can move this channel over 100,000. Subscribers, finally break that glass ceiling to get to more of our brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth. With that, I'm going to say I'm Elder Ricardo of the Gathering of Christ Church, along with Elder Lawyer and all the elders. Thank you for all your continued support. Stay prayed up. Sin not. Good night, Elder Lawyer. We will soon see Zion.